Chapter 21. The moles carried the unconscious Waterfall into the Gay's house, laying him out upon the bed. Fen Bluepaw sniffed in disgust.
I take it you'll be removing that thing from my bed as soon as it comes to. Filthy paws and matted fur. I'll have to scrub that counterpane and drape it in the orchard so a good clean breeze can dry it.
Abbot Dorcas commented dryly.
That's what I like about you, Miss Bluepaw. You're so kind and tender-hearted.
The squirrel recorder bristled.
Well, it's not your bed that scruffy beast laid out on.
Dorcas nodded.
Right, Mum. But if you want him off your bed, you'd be better employed by fetching Sister Atrata, instead of being so harsh upon a senseless creature. Once the good sister brings him around, then we can move him from your bed.
Benjo Tips, accompanied by Orkel Prink, wandered in to view the water vole. Redwall's stout cellar hog looked slightly rueful.
Mayhap I shouldn't have chucked that bung starter so hard at him. He might never wake him proper.
Orkel curled his lip when he looked closer at the patient.
It wouldn't be a great loss if he didn't, Mr. Tips. We've had a few run-ins with this, and he's a mean-spirited and bad-tempered old water vole.
Sister Atrata entered the gatehouse with Fen Bluepaw in attendance, still complaining bitterly.
The very idea of it. Some raggedy-bottomed, barrel-bellied ball cooling his paws on my nice, clean bed.
The sister silenced her with a single glare.
Yes, thank you, Miss Bluepaw. I've heard enough.
Leaning over the water vole, she opened one of his eyes, giving an instant diagnosis as she unstuffed the paw full of feathers from the mattress.
He's about ready to be wakened. Bring that lamp over here, Arquil.
Igniting the feathers from the lamp flame, the sister let them burn for a moment, then extinguished them. Holding the smouldering material under the waterfall's snout, Sister Atrata allowed him to inhale the acrid fumes. He shot bolt upright, gagging and gasping. The sister smiled cheerfully.
Up you come now. Let's get a dressing on that head lump of yours, and a draught of me belladonna potion. You'll be right as rain before you know it.
Skipper Orc stepped in, taking charge of the vole.
Not so fast, matey. You've got some questions to answer. Come on, let's take a stroll on the wall tops. This place smells of smouldering feathers. Phew!
The water vole hung back. He was in a surly mood.
Got to get me head treated first, after what that spike pig did to me.
The burly otter squeezed his paw in a vice-like grip.
If a new call Mr. Benjo Tips a spike pig again, I'll put another lump atop of the one you've already got. Now watch your mouth, vole, and keep a civil tongue in your head when I talks to you. Out you go.
Skipper pushed the vole in front of him. Together with Benjo and Orkwell, they mounted the steps to the wall top. Orkwell strolled alongside Skipper as he and Benjo walked toward the north parapet, keeping the water vole lodged firmly between them. As they drew close to the northwest corner, the vole began dragging his paws, trying to hang back. Skipper shoved him onward, questioning.
Big, fat rascal like you ain't afraid, are you?
The vole ducked his head so that he could not be seen. He crouched along in the cover of the battlements. Benjo jabbed him in the ribs.
What are you trying to hide down there for?
Nodding toward the woodlands beyond the north wall, the vole whispered.
They're watching us. I'm sure of it.
The stout cellar hog hauled him up above the wall top.
Who's watching you? Tell us!
The water vole wriggled furiously as Benjo held him tight.
The golden fox and his crew. There's a whole army of them.
Benjo shook him.
Aye, and you're one of them.
The prisoner's nerve deserted him. He whined piteously.
No, I ain't. Ask him, that young'un.